Session will come to order. Members, members may indicate their presence by voting.
There are 17 members present. Senators Chance and Sackett were excused from the call.
Prayer today is by the Reverend Kenneth Charlie of the St. Barnabas Church in Minto.
God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that you'll be with us this morning as we go about our business. Once again, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Senator Rader. I'm sorry. Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 67th legislative day and Senate supplement number 8.
Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, if there are no additions or corrections, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal and supplement be approved as read.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal without objection. Introduction of guest, Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, from Senator Sackett's district, Senator Sackett is out on an emergency problem. I'd like to introduce today from Minto, sitting behind me, Mr. Lee Titus, Bernice, Mr. Denise Titus, Elaine Silas, and Ronnie Silas. But please stand.
Senator Orsini.
President, it's a great pleasure to introduce a former co-worker, a neighbor and friend, Tony Lucas from Utah.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, sitting in the gallery on this side today is the chairman for the Commission on Public Transit for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Rick Cavett.
Further introductions. Messages from the governor.
Message of March 18th. Dear Mr. President, I have read the following resolutions and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Resolution Number 2, Senate Resolution Number 3 amended, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 89, House Concurrent Resolution Number 92, amended Senate, House Special Concurrent Resolution Number 2. Letter of March 18th. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 353, Chapter 20. There are no further governor's messages.
Messages from the House.
Message of March 18th. The House has passed the following, and they are returned herewith. Now, the House has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 66 relating to North Slope Natural Gas. This has been sent to enrolling. The House has passed the following. House Concurrent Resolution Number 80 by Representative Duncan relating to travel on state ferries by official school activity groups.
State Affairs. Senator Ray? State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill Number 648 amended by Representative Cotton. An act relating to payment of wages in the state.
Labor and Management.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 684 by the Commerce Committee. An act relating to designating certain mobile home sales and space rental practices as unfair trade practices.
Commerce.
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Senator Ferguson. Senate Standing Committee. Reports of Standing Committee.
The Labor and Management Committee considered Senate Bill 157, Public Employment Relations Act, and the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. Report is signed by Senator Willis, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Rohde and Bradley. There's no further referral.
Rules.
Estate Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 534, establishing a disaster relief tax and changing Rule 65 of Civil Procedure, and the committee recommends it do pass with amendments. The report signed by Senator Huber, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Ferguson, Miller, and Coletta. There's a further referral to Finance. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 557, issuance of general obligation bonds for construction and maintaining roads and trails. And reports back as follows. Senator Rohde, Chairman, and Senator Willis signed do pass. Senator Tillian signed do not pass. Senator Orsini signed no recommendation. There's a further referral to Finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill 599, instructional units for reading specialists under the Public School Foundation Program. And the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Coletta and Bradley. There's a further referral to Finance. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 195, Alaska National Guard Active Duty Training, and recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Rader, and Poland. There's no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee considered House Bill 686 relating to legalization of rain classics and recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Rader, and Poland. There's no further referral.
Rules.
There are no further committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution number 52 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, proposing amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to contracting with private educational institutions.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
There are no other resolutions.
Introduction of Senate Bill.
Senate Bill number 712 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee by request, an act relating to the relationship between the borough school district and the borough and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
Senate Bill number 713 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the terms of members of regional school boards.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
There are no other bills.
Brings us down to consideration. Senator Petula.
President, I'm going to ask the Senate to take up Senate Bill 675 at this time to consider this one.
We have before Senate Bill 675.
Senate Bill number 675, an act relating to non-retention of teachers.
Senator Cotulla. Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 675 be returned to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Without objection, second reading, Senate Bill 675.
Amendment number one by Senators Coletta and Cotulla. Page 1, line 13. Delete period after AS 1414060C and add, provided that the reduction is made in order of seniority of teachers within a program reduced and that the teachers have first preference to be rehired if a vacancy occurs in the program during the school year.
Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that this bill and all amendments be held over until Monday's calendar.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 675 be held in second reading until Monday's calendar. Is there objection? Without objection, Senate Bill 675 will appear in second reading on Monday's calendar. Now, at the consideration of today's calendar, Senator Ray, Senate Standard E. Senator, come to order. Senator Cotulla?
President, I will be the first introduction guest.
Without objection, you have the floor.
President, the gallery today is and has served with some distinction as an assistant to the Rules Chairman of the House last session, is now District Court Judge in Valdez. I'd like to introduce Judge Denali.
Senator Katula.
Mr. President, I would move and ask us to send recess to call the sheriff for probably 5 minutes.
Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent to Senate stand in recess to call the sheriff for approximately 5 minutes. Without objection, send some recess. Senator, come to order. We have before us in second reading House Bill 159, Senator Katula.
President, I move and ask consent to House Bill 159 and all amendments be held in second reading
until
Monday's calendar.
Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 159 be held in second reading until Monday's calendar. Without objection, House Bill 159 will appear in second reading on Monday's calendar. We have before us House Bill 417.
House Bill number 417 by Representative Gardner. An act relating to law enforcement intelligence information. The Judiciary Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass with an amendment. The report was signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Miller and Meeland. Amendment number one by the Judiciary Committee, page 2, line 8, after each, insert state or municipal.
Senator Ziegler? Ziegler moves the adoption of amendment number one. You have the floor, Senator.
This one is allowed in all law enforcement agencies within the state have to comply with these annual reports.
Senator Ziegler asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one. Without objection, amendment number one is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Ziegler.
Amendment number two, page 2, line 29. Delete complete.
Senator Ziegler moves the adoption of amendment number two. You have the floor.
We didn't think that somebody ought to be able to maintain that I violated this chapter in good faith, and therefore that is a complete defense to the charge of having done wrong. So if somebody intends to rely upon a good faith defense, that is a defense, but it shouldn't be a complete and absolute defense. I think it's preferable to delete the word complete.
Senator Ziegler asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number two. Without objection, two is adopted.
Amendment number three, page 3, line 5, change preventative to preventive.
Since there is no such word as preventative, we thought that amendment should fly, asking consent for its adoption.
Senator Ziegler asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number three. Without objection, three is adopted. Secretary of Reading, amendment number four.
Amendment number four, page 3, line 7, change or to nor with.
Senator Ziegler moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number four. Without objection, number four is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Katula.
President, absent further amendments, I'm going to ask unanimous consent to House Bill 417 as amended be considered and bill advanced third reading and placed upon final.
Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 417 be advanced from second to third reading and placed for you on final passage. Without objection, I have before us in third reading House Bill 417.
House Bill number 417, amended by the Senate, an act relating to law enforcement intelligence information.
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, if enacted, this bill would empower the Governor's Commission on Criminal Justice to promulgate regulation controlling the use of intelligence information by our law enforcement agencies. Under existing law, there are no legal guidelines for intelligence gathering information with the exception of information which is fed into the AGIS system. This bill, in essence, would permit the Governor's Commission, which I might add is composed of the Attorney General, Commissioner of Public Safety, Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court, two legislators, and a number of other governmental officials and public members with expertise in the criminal justice field to promulgate through the Administrative Procedures Act regulations which would govern such things as defining the categories of intelligence information which may be gathered, the purposes for which the intelligence information may be collected, methods and procedures for collecting it, standards for confidentiality and security of the information, controls, access to and dissemination of the information, and methods for updating, correcting, or purging intelligence information. The bill, I believe, is a good one and one that ought to be mentioned in the law.
Further discussion, Senator Ray? Senator Stanley.
Mr. President, I'd be interested to know what the testimony in committee was on this bill.
Mr. President, I know that in testimony before the House Judiciary Committee, the present Attorney General and the former, the immediate past Attorney General, according to the House Judiciary Chairman, that testified in favor of the bill.
Further discussion, Senator Ray?
Was there any, through the chair, was there any testimony in opposition?
Mr. President, no, but seconding Senator Moore's comments, Mr. President, the bill sought to buttress what we attempted to do when we adopted the right of privacy amendment a few years ago. The bill will help you and me as individuals more than it will ever hurt us, and it lays out a game pattern as to, or it enables the commission to lay out those guidelines with which all law enforcement agencies in the state must comply. I think it's good legislation.
Mr. President, I would also note that for those who were in the legislature at the time that I recall in 1972, I guess it was, I authored some rather controversial legislation regarding restrictions on intelligence information that could be gathered by the law enforcement agencies. That bill passed the legislature but was vetoed by Governor Egan and did not become law. This is a more moderate compromise, middle of the road measure that does turn over this authority to the Governor's Commission on Criminal Justice, which after all has a heavy input by the law enforcement agency, but at least guarantees some kind of due process and standards and review for the gathering of this kind of rather delicate information.
Senator Wright?
I agree, Mr. President. It fixes something that hasn't been broken.
Further discussion?
Why did you vote? The question is, on House Bill 417, pass the Senate. Senator, you might read the vote. Every senator voted. Secretary, I'll lock the room. Any senators already changed his vote? Secretary, I'll take the room.
There are 14 yeas, 3 nays, 3 absent.
House Bill 417 passed the Senate. We have before us in the second reading, House Bill 606.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 606 amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to appointments to vacancies in the office of United States Senator. The State Affairs Committee had this bill under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Meeland, Vice Chairman, and Senators Coletta and Ferguson signed no recommendation. Senator Huber signed do pass. Senator Miller signed do not pass. I have no amendments.
All
President, absent spending amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent. Need substitute for House Bill 606 amendment, be considered in gross, advanced third reading, place prompt pass.
Bill moved and asked unanimous consent that House Bill 606 be advanced on second and third reading, place before you on final passage. Without objection, before it's on third reading, House Bill 606.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 606 amended. An act relating to appointments to vacancies in the office of United States Senator.
I wondered if the prime sponsor could give us a thumbnail description of the differences between the House bill and the committee substitute for the House bill, but not adopting it.
President, prime sponsor is a member of the House, and unless we give him special privilege of the floor, I suspect he'll not be able to do that. I believe the differences permits the various district conventions of the party of the incumbent that created the vacancy to hold district conventions to nominate candidates for submittal to the governor, where the original one permitted the presiding officers of the two houses to submit names. Mr. President, I suspect this is going to be in vain, but I wish to speak against the bill. And it's not true that I'm doing so on behalf of Senator Tate. I'm really doing so because I feel it represents bad public policy. The main theory behind the bill is that we ought to replace a person who has created a vacancy in the United States Senate with someone from the same political party, because when an individual goes to the ballot box at the general election, he votes for a candidate because he's a member of that party. He votes for him just because he's a Republican, or he votes for him just because he's a Democrat. Mr. President, I respectfully submit that probably just the contrary is true in this state. Often they're elected notwithstanding their political affiliation. There's all kinds of examples where, in one case, you have a candidate from one party beating the ticket for his office, and for the very next statewide office, the candidate of another party beats the ticket. And I submit that people vote for candidates based on their candidate himself and not on the party he represents. For that reason, Mr. President, I think the governor ought to have the widest possible latitude in selecting a replacement should a vacancy occur in the United States Senate. Usually, in many other states who have tried this kind of apparatus and have later abandoned it, have done so because, as a practical political matter, when a governor is faced with a vacancy in the U.S. Senate, if he has to appoint someone from a party other than his own, by reason of politics, he generally appoints the weakest possible candidate for obvious political reasons. I submit to you, Mr. President, when that happens, the best interests of the people of the state are not served. Instead, we should appoint the strongest possible candidate, which generally will happen, remembering, of course, that generally within 2 years, the voters have an opportunity to pass judgment on that candidate anyway in the general election. Now, I know this thing is heavily charged with politics, recognizing the composition of this body and the political affiliation of the incumbent on the third floor. But these things all have a way of changing. I would really recommend that we count to 10 before we pass this kind of legislation.
Count to 11, actually.
Mr. President, of course, I don't presume the conventions would choose the weakest candidate. The governor might well, under a different program, suggest it. A few years ago, I felt very strongly on this issue because, of course, our senior senator virtually willed himself into the Senate by changing the then law that required the appointment to be from the party in which the Senate vacancy occurred. Mr. President, just to touch briefly, one time I supported very strongly the position that was taken in regard to pre-registration. I opposed it. In other states, Democrats were supporting it. And there's no consistency to any of this type of thing. It's just a personal preference. And I no longer have a strong feeling about this. The time I did, when when Governor Hickel and our present senior senator shoved this down the minority's throat at that time in the House and pushed it through the Senate. But that's an old story, and I don't think this is even a vendetta anymore as a result of that changing back. I think it's a sincere attempt upon the proponents to put it back something they feel is more fair. To me, I think Senator Miller makes a lot of sense. It doesn't really matter anymore.
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, the senator from Juneau asked for testimony by the prime sponsor. We're sitting here with the State Affairs worksheet, and I know the prime sponsor is Representative Miller on the House side. He did testify to State Affairs on the bill. And he testified that the bill corrects a flaw in our statutes, changed during the Hickel years, and must be put back in good shape. And this is a good time to do it because our senators that are in Washington are now all hale and hearty and healthy, and it's a fair shake for the voting public. Mr. President, I personally suspect that this is the kind of bill that politicians get all wrapped up in, and their constituents don't give a darn about. Thank you.
Question.
Further discussion?
Ready to vote? Question is, House Bill 606 passes the Senate. Senators make a brief vote.
Every senator voted. Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote?
President,
no. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary, I'll take the roll.
There are 9 yeas, 8 nays, 3 absent.
So House Bill 606 has failed to pass the Senate. Includes the daily calendar. Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I'll serve notice of reconsideration on the next legislative day of House Bill 606.
Senator Huber's notice of reconsideration be noted in the council. Bring us down to unfinished business.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House from 7 p.m. today, 19 March, to 10 a.m. 24 March, for the purpose of attending the Arctic Winter Games as the state's representative to that program.
Senator Coelho, those in asking unanimous consent that we could get the excuse from the call of the Senate beginning at 7 p.m. today, ending through 10 o'clock a.m. on March.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Senator Ray.
Is it too late to bring back that appropriation bill for this
morning? At this point,
is there objection?
Mr. President, it isn't his leaving again, the paraphrasing of the famous state without objection, it's a return.
Without objection, Senator Clark. Further unfinished business? Special orders. Announcement of committee meeting.
Mr. President, Senate Resources will again receive testimony on Senate Bill 406. This is the final day of oral testimony on 406 in the Supreme Court room at 1:30 this afternoon.
Senator,
Mr. President, I would move. President, I move national consent to revert to the introduction bill.
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction.
Senate Bill number 714. By the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee by request, an act relating to de novo review of dismissal of tenured teachers.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
There are no further bills.
Further announcements. Committee meeting. Senator Wright.
President, Finance Committee will meet the subcommittee work this afternoon and tomorrow on natural resources, and meet the full committee at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Further announcements? Senator
Senator Ferguson.
Mayor and Rick, for the introduction of the bill.
Without objection, you have the floor.
At this time, I'd like to introduce a good friend, a constituent from Cox, via June Nelson.
Senator Tillian.
Mr. President, I see in the gallery today a young man from Port Grant, the chief director.
Senator Rooney.
Mr. President, I see in the gallery behind me a constituent of mine who I'm glad has come to view the Senate, Ms. Kathy Perrin.
Further introduction. Further announcement, committee meeting.
Mr. President, yesterday I announced that I might have to cancel and ask the secretaries of the great senators to check a meeting that I now wish to hold 2 p.m. with the group of the United Petitioners people on Senate Bill 688, 689. There will be a couple other bills posted to go along with it. 2 p.m. today, Congress. If there's no further action coming before this body, Mr. President, I move and ask consent that we adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Senator Cotullo moves and asks unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock Monday morning. Without objection.